ever wondered what affects the pricing, the coverage, or the availability of the insurances that you buy? My name is Peg Vaghe. I'm the executive manager at Broker Relationships here at CGU. CGU is a proud Australian company. We're owned by IAG. And for over 160 years, we've been insuring Australians and Australian businesses through the insurance products that we supply. We prepare the Strive Report every year. This is our third edition, and we really prepare the Strive Report so that we can coalesce all of the social, environmental, and economic factors that affect the insurances that you buy. Our aim is to make it really easy for you to unpack the reasons why your insurance might change and maybe help you prepare for the conversations that you're going to have with your broker or your insurers if you're coming up for renewal. This is the third edition of our Strive Report, and in this report, we're going to talk about some topical things like AI, claims, how is that affecting claims, and many, many more topics that I hope that you're going to join me for. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to be talking about motor fleet, but with an EV twist. And for that, we're going to be welcoming Peter Devyakinya, our motor risk manager at CGU. Peter is a passionate expert in this subject matter, and so I'm really looking forward to uncovering the lid of EV fleets with you. You're currently studying to be a PhD in sustainable mobility, is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Wow. I've taken a big plunge into the academic world again, as well as working. So it's really exciting. It's an opportunity to really understand what's going on in the world of sustainability, and it's so topical, and applying it to the workplace too.
Well, congratulations to you, one, for finding the time to do it, but also to applying your work and your passion to your studies. I am so interested to dive into some of the stats that I've been reading, and I read a lot of research and papers about EVs. I think you were sharing some stat with me about how many studies get conducted.
Well, part of doing a PhD, you start off by completing what they call a literature review. And I have an alert that comes up that shows me all of the current content that's being created internationally on the topic. And it can be anywhere between 20 to 30 articles. And we're not talking about two or three pages. We're talking about multiple words, multiple pages of content on the topic of electric vehicles.
I read a lot of studies about electric vehicles. At the first half of 2024, EVs made up about 8% of the new car market in Australia. Is that a stat that resonates with you?
Yeah, I think it was right at the start of the year. That number's progressively gone down over the last few months, and it's not because there isn't a motivation to purchase EVs. It's more around the price point. I think there's a lot of volatility around the price point that's being introduced with more models coming into the market, changes by current manufacturers. If you look at the likes of Tesla, for instance, they had a significant reduction in the price of their vehicles. So there's people that are still quite eager to become a contributor to the reduction of emissions, but they're a little slower in the take up. So there's a lot more consideration in that process.
Well, like me, I personally don't have one at the moment, and I'm concerned about range anxiety, for example, or the cost of it. Apparently range anxiety is a real thing.
Yeah, range anxiety is absolutely a real thing. I've personally experienced range anxiety in the first 3 to 6 months of the EV that I drive. And the range anxiety really is about, you're not used to the planning process. When you take a petrol vehicle, you think or know that there's a petrol station everywhere you go, whether it be regional. And when what I'm referring to is the regional driving, city driving. I think EVs work really well. When it starts to become long distance driving, that's when it becomes a bit of a challenge around range anxiety. What you need to understand is it requires a plan. You need to plan ahead. It's something that we're not used to. So that's a change in behavior.
And I guess like that's all only going to improve as more infrastructure comes in, because you've got to plan so meticulously if you don't know when the next charging station is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the infrastructure is certainly a long way from being right. I think everybody is aware of that. You do need to plan. You need to also understand that other people have got the same plan. So if you are anticipating that you're going to charge at a particular location, there will probably be other people planning that as well. So your breaks are longer, which in some cases is good because we should be taking breaks every 2 hours on long distance driving. But sometimes those breaks can go from a 15-minute charge time to a half an hour to a 45 minute time because you've got a half an hour wait time. So all these things are progressively improving. There certainly is some drive from government and organizations to support the expansion of our infrastructure. So some of our petrol suppliers are also making their stations set up to enable people to charge there. So there certainly is progress. It is a slow progress. I think the progress has slowed up even more as we go through this slight lull around the motivation to buy changing a little.
Yeah, and I think one of the myths that I hear, one is obviously range anxiety. The other myth that I hear is about how much difficult it is to drive one. Is that true?
Well, yeah, it's a different beast.
Yeah.
The one thing that's quite a significant difference is the acceleration in an EV comparative to a petrol vehicle. But the risk associated with that is, around takeoff time, your reaction time being too fast, mm-hmm. someone coming across the road, someone turning late, all those sort of things. So there's an increase in risk factor around potential incident with that sort of power. And one of the biggest things around that level of power is just the understanding of it. And there really is a piece around education. And that, if I talk specifically around fleet clients, when it comes to things around procurement, perfect. They've got they're considering their emission targets. They're considering the vehicle whole of life costs. They're considering the utilization of that vehicle. The one factor that needs a little work is around the driver training and understanding of that technology.
Mm. I know that you see a lot of fleets at CGU. What is it like when you see some fleets? Are you seeing a lot of transitions to electric vehicle fleets?
I think we find most organizations are looking at it. If I was to put a figure on the number of electric vehicles in a fleet, it's around 5%. So they're doing their due diligence. They're looking at the vehicle, the suitability of the vehicle, mm-hmm. the types of vehicle. It's not always just driven by cost. It's can the job be done? Can the deliverable
it's like
of
a
that...
fitness for purpose
yeah.
for those industries. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So there is that component being looked at. The one component that I always think is missing in most organisations and even with petrol vehicles is looking at the safety component of the vehicle. Yes, we have 5-star ANCAP rated vehicles, and that's never a problem. Most organizations do tick that box and make sure they have a certain standard. It's the understanding of the functionality of the vehicle itself.
Yeah. I also hear quite a bit about adoption, a barrier to adoption being the battery life. One of the reasons why I get told not to buy an EV is because the resale value of it is going to be much worse than if I bought a traditional combustion vehicle. Is that a myth as well that you can?
I think at the moment with the volatility of the price of EVs, it's not so much a myth. I think that the resale value of the vehicles is a bit unknown, but that will start to rationalize itself out and sort of come to a neutral position once that price point is determined. And I think that we're still getting that supply coming in and the demand. And if we go try to find that cross section where the price should be, it's an unknown. There's so many contributing factors.
So if I was a fleet owner and I am considering transitioning into EVs, what would be your advice to me?
I think it's a matter of creating a project plan as such, and that is understand your purpose. And that purpose does not just have to align to emission targets. We all have a focus on social responsibility. We all have a focus on sustainable mobility. Those are very important, but we also need to consider the fact that we need to operate our businesses. We need to operate those businesses cost effectively. We need to consider the implications on our people as well. So taking all of those factors into consideration rather than looking at procurement, look at all of the parts of your business and make sure that, yes, this is the procurement side of things, this is the people side of things, this is the safety side of things, this is the customer side of things, and make a plan, create a plan to ensure that we get the right outcome for our business. And that may not necessarily be a fully integrated electric vehicle fleet. It may be a combination of electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles, depending on where your business operates.
That's really interesting. From one of the other areas of concern or maybe unknowns is supply chain. Whenever something, you know, you need a repair, is that something that is problematic? Is that the same experience that you would if you had a combustion vehicle? What would happen if you need something, an EV, repaired?
I think it comes down to supply and demand with the supply chain, and where there's a relatively small component of our national fleet, being every vehicle on the road is electric. So therefore, the supply of parts, for instance, if a vehicle is involved in an incident, it is probably a little bit more difficult, but that will improve over time.
Yeah. In the future, so we've got probably a little bit of incentives coming from the government. I'm hearing that potentially, depending on, you know, what's happening in other countries in terms of tariffs, that there might be more supply into Australia. What does it look like for you? You know, crystal, you know, if you looked into your crystal ball in about 5 years, what do you reckon it's going to look like in Australia if you were a purchaser of an electric vehicle, especially for fleet owners?
Yeah. So I think we will have a lot of choice. Mm-hmm. In 2022, we had 31 models on the market. Now we have 80 models. So only within the space of less than 2 years, we've progressed to over double. I just read today there's an additional 20 models which will be introduced into the Australian market within the next 3 months. Wow. So we're already starting to hit 100 models. So that there's certainly going to be some opportunity and choice. And that's going to have quite a big part to play in the landscape.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And hopefully the infrastructure is going to catch up with all of this as well. Do you see us ever getting to the likes of Norway or the United States in terms of adoption?
I think adoption-wise, we will take a little longer. Small population, big country.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of remote regions.
Very reliant on using vehicles, particularly in the commercial space, rather than flying, because it's not so easy to fly. Mm-hmm. So we have got a high dependency on road transport or using vehicles. So I think we will slowly, progressively make our way to the likes of Norway. But we certainly will. I don't believe we'll ever meet that same level of EV adoption because of the
because of our regions and our demographics. Yeah. Yeah.
The one part we haven't spoken about is that combination of hybrid. And that's certainly an alternative, and certainly working towards the reduction in emissions. Not quite the same level as an EV, but it's one factor that a lot of organizations I always recommend to look at as well.
It's hybrids, yeah.
Hybrids, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to probably be getting a hybrid before I get an EV, and that's mainly because I need to drive a little bit more of a distance now and again. And I'm probably not quite ready to take the jump, but it's a really good like midway point, isn't it, for, you know, for someone to consider.
Absolutely. And I think there is a impact on environment with the hybrid. It does reduce anxiety back to the same as driving a petrol vehicle, which is quite important, especially when we look at the risks that we insure at CGU. The vehicles are being used for work purposes. People are out doing their jobs, focused on their jobs. You know, there is a lot of drive around costs. Electric vehicles, running costs 40 to 70% less on an annual basis. There is a bit of additional cost in getting the vehicle, but if you will find some cost benefit there as well.
All right. So we talked a little bit about some of the myths. Is there anything beneficial to driving an EV, apart from obviously not having to go to the petrol station? Is there any other significant benefits to driving an EV that people should be aware about?
So the initial data is indicating that the at-fault rate of incidents is actually less in an EV comparative to a petrol vehicle. You can align that to the safety features in the EVs that are contributing to that. That's early stages, early days, but certainly when you look at the claims data, it's starting to show a positive trend to less at-fault accidents, which is a great thing.
Well, thank you very much, Peter, for sharing all of that with us. I think it's really fascinating about your focus around safety and that training around, you know, really driving a different kind of beast, and hopefully we see more of that continue. I am really looking forward to, you know, some new models as well coming in. I think it's been a really interesting subject to chat about. So thank you for joining us, and hopefully we can see you again around the fleets, checking out the CGU fleets around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And if there is any of our brokers out there who have clients who are considering EVs, by all means, reach out. We're here to help and find answers for you. We may not have all of them, but we certainly will support.
That's great. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
The Shirai Report is a ready reckoner for our customers about all things insurance. So if you want to get your hands on the Shirai Report, contact your broker. And if you don't have a broker, please visit the website for the National Insurance Brokers Association to find a broker near you. From all of us here at CGU, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you at the next edition of the Shirai Report.